Hey, everybody. Welcome to the year-end review. By the time I talk to you guys again on Monday, it is going to be a new year into 2023. And yeah, I just wanted to go over, you know, all the good, bad, ugly things that went on this year and to kind of do a recap. I haven't been able to do one last year. I didn't get to do it at the end of season one. And so I'm doing that today. On top of it's been holidays, it's been crazy. So no newsletter today and no YouTube today. Kicking it old school, just straight podcast here. And so we'll get a word from our sponsor, and then I will catch you up on all things Culinary Convo. And so, of course, go to culinaryconvo.com, join the newsletter for next week and beyond, as well as go to our Patreon, see what we've got going there, especially for advertising. I think I might be running the cheapest in the game advertising, but who knows? The main thing is we'll wait for a word from my sponsor. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Culinary Convo, the year-end review for 2022. Once again, crazy year. Loving the podcasting, loving adding on the YouTube and all the images that we compile for each episode, the recipes for the Pinterest on our newsletter, also sending out the newsletter. That has been super fun. If you're not signed up for that, go to culinaryconvo.com. It's right at the top of the homepage, along with all of our other content. And speaking of content, I looked at my Spotify Wrapped. Everybody does it for their individual stuff. It's kind of fun. But Spotify this year did it for podcasters. And so I'll be going over that with what we have for Culinary Convo. I kind of got my mind blown while reading this. Basically, they stated I had created 4,412 minutes of new content, and that was more than 99% of other creators in the arts category, which, yeah, it's crazy. I started doing two episodes a week, mainly because I like doing it. It's super fun. On top of that, I love doing the research and figuring out what's going on with a lot of the different things in the culinary universe, whether it's the United Foods of America or mapping the culinary world, even the historical stuff on Plate and Time. I don't know. I've hit a couple places where it was a rough spot, but somehow there's always something that like pulls me back out with some type of crazy information. And when I was watching my Wrapped, thank you, Spotify. This is crazy. I just did not know I had created that much, content in minutes. Basically Culinary Convo has been heard in 18 countries. Wow. My first year, it was only heard, I think, in 5 or 6 countries. And so I just want to thank all the international folks listening in. Thank you for stopping by. It's almost overwhelming to know that like that many countries that, you know, even can listen to podcasts, they kind of tapped in, even if it was for like a partial listen, maybe. My top 5 countries, obviously number 1 was the US, number 2, my Australia folks. Yeah. Then the Philippines was number 3. Number 4 was Belgium. And number 5 was Indonesia. So love all my fans from all 18. But those top 5, I mean, 2023, we'll see if the list of top 5 gets shaken up. But the next one basically once the Great British Baking Show kicked off, and I was doing recaps of those episodes, That was my largest jump in listeners. It was 104%. So yeah, it kind of got crazy, and I don't know if it'll get to it in my Wrapped, but my listens this year, I mean, they basically doubled. And I just want to thank everybody for actually listening. It does help seeing the reviews, seeing, you know, all the folks that are listening each week, even the people that are like binging this on the weekend, like to catch up on a couple episodes here and there. I don't care how you listen to it. Like, just, it feels good to know that there's folks out there listening and they're consistent and staying with all the things that go on in the culinary convoverse. It's just so cool to know that, 'cause I put a lot of work and passion into this. And so to know that, you know, it's still kind of catching on, it's really great. The next one here, your podcast was in the top 20% most shared globally. 42%, it was by a direct link, and then 39% in Instagram, which, you know, I like my Instagram. I'll admit, they're, social media wise, they're kind of a pain to post to every now and again, but I still like Instagram. I still check it out every now and again. And then, of course, Facebook and text. But yeah, 20% most shared globally. Just mind blowing. And then it says my listeners' podcast personality. I don't know if Spotify wants me to throw this out there, but I have down that you guys are the enthusiast. Your listeners are super fans. When their favorite podcast releases a new episode, they're among the first to know, going above and beyond to show their support. And yeah, that's my Convenauts, man. Like, you guys are amazing. Do I wish there was a ton more interaction? All the time. But I love everything that we do, whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, the newsletter, the website, you know, everything. It's awesome. Linda Yoga Girl, shout out. Also, my paid contributors, Convenaut Dylan, thank you. And yeah, I agree. I've got enthusiasts, and they are consistently listening. So that's really great. The hours of content, apparently it went up 344% this year. So that was awesome. I have 176 percent more followers, 227% growth in listeners, and 291% in streams. It was crazy to see all of those numbers above 100. And I let you in on this mainly to kind of let you know what it's like to work on basically a creative project of your own. If you're thinking about doing something, whether it's, I've got family that they are doing, you know, things with, you know, different types of, like, I want to say fragrance type stuff, but it's multiple things. It's, you know, soaps, lotions, all that kind of stuff. And you make an Etsy store, do it. Just get started. You learn so many new things just doing something. And then to see an output like this, oh man, it feels great. And so I know, yeah, that may just be me, like, you know, I don't know, patting my own back, but just, if you have a creative project you want to do, go out and do it. And if it includes Culinary Convo, send us a message at culinaryconvopod@gmail.com, and we will totally take a look at it and go over things. Apparently for 39 fans, we are the top 10 podcast for, so I'm a top 5 podcast for 31. And then I am the number one podcast for 9 fans. Number one. 9 fans. I want a group hug. It asks if they can do a group hug. I would group hug all, what would it be, 79? 79 of you. I would hug all 79 of you. Some of you might overlap, I'm not sure. But I'm just saying. I love it. Thank you, guys. That was mainly the part of their recaps. The minutes thing is crazy. 4,412. Just absolutely crazy. Like I said, the listens, they basically doubled this year. I was looking through, you know, lists of episodes. I thought about compiling like, oh, let's do like a best moments of, you know, culinary convo. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but this year, the way that my schedule worked out, I wasn't totally able to figure out when my 100th episode would be on. The way that I had things mapped out on my schedule, I thought it was going to be one of the episodes, but then I did a recording for something else. It kind of got crazy there, but I just know, I've made more than 100 episodes, which, 52 weeks in a year, 2 episodes a week. I mean, that's going to be 104. So, yeah, I mean, 1 year, I'm supposed to get over that. But I just know my first year and a half, I was only doing one a week. And to get over 100 episodes, that many minutes and hours, it's crazy to look back. Just because I do spend a lot of my waking moments working on this podcast. It's one of those things where luckily I enjoy, you know, going through all the things, whether it's the research, the web development, website stuff, all the marketing and social media and video and photo and all that stuff. I really enjoy going through that. It's like a good consistent rotation. But yeah, it's so crazy to, like, you're going up this hill, you still see the, like, peak, the mountains far off in the distance, but you look back and you're like, dang, I've gone over like a ton of hills though. Like, so it's great to notice that. And it's just great that you guys listening out there have helped progress that forward. It's made the going up and down hills way easier. And so I thank you guys out there. So what I was going to do going back through episodes was I was actually going to really tell you what were some of my favorite episodes. I don't know if anybody cares about that, but I'm still going to say it either way. The United Foods of America, Utah, I did that with Andrew from Our Last Meal. I loved that episode. I know it's a bit long. It's about an hour and 26 minutes. But Utah was one of those states where I really did not know very much about their food culture, what they would have. And it was so cool to figure that out and to go through things and just be like, oh, they actually are the only state that a Dutch oven is a symbol of their state. That is crazy. Like, no other state has a cooking utensil or tool as part of their, you know, state symbology. That's kind of crazy to me. I will say that going over the 3-2-1 Bake Off, definitely the episodes where it was the middle episodes. It was like 4, 5, and 6. A lot of controversy in some of those episodes. So the recaps of season 13 episodes, 4, 5, 6, it was interesting to go through those just because, like I said, those were the episodes that I just remember going through. And I thought, yeah, these are like of the Great British Baking Show, which I absolutely adore. I really liked the last season. Those episodes were freaking stinkers, man. I actually did not like those episodes. And so to recap them and for me to not have like a jolly, we're in the Christmas season, so to like have a jolly demeanor going over Great British Baking Show, it was kind of a welcome thing. I was like, yeah, no, these episodes were like weird. Like, what is going on? So that is always really fun. To kind of kick it back even further, mapping the culinary world, Iceland and New Zealand, loved going over those. Right now, Biscuit, he's rubbing up on my microphone stand and he's getting really close to my keyboard. And I think he's going to screw up my recording, but he's trying to be nice. We'll see what happens. but no, I mean, New Zealand, Iceland, super fun. Iceland did that with Marissa, cause she wants to go to Iceland. And so it was cool to do kind of a deep dive on that episode of like, here are all these things, whether it's crazy, good, unique. It was awesome. But definitely need to do a a uniquely umami soon. That needs to happen. But another, like, probably my top two favorites of the year in terms of Cookbook Corner, it has to be Lula de Mojus with Enabla, recipes from an Ethiopian kitchen, and of course Budenbo with Anna Voloshina, and that's recipes from a Ukrainian kitchen. Definitely go and get those cookbooks like yesterday. Why don't you have them already? Both of them are amazing cookbooks. They make recipes actually seem somewhat easy. It's of foods that, one, Ukrainian is fairly timely just because of all the things that are going on, but they have a lot of great recipes that are just, yeah, it's part of their culture. They've had so many things go in and out in terms of immigration. So there's Georgian recipes that kind of show up here and there. It's amazing. And then Ethiopian food, I hear so many people say that like Ethiopian food is one of my favorite things to go out and eat and get. And yet you never hear like, it's the best thing I know how to make. And that's what Lula Day is trying to do with Enabla, is start making it to where folks cook Ethiopian food at home. Yeah. And I getting like the three spices and, you know, the kibbeh, which is like ghee. Yeah. Super, you know, fun, easy to use, especially if you love spices and spice blends. The Burberry, ugh, love it. Anyways, the next one here, going back into season one, definitely like Plate and Time, there were a couple of favorites that I had in there. One was 2010 because I could remember it really quickly. I kind of knew what was coming. Another one was 1819, which I noticed it actually has like a low count in plays. And I'm not just saying that episode because it has low counts, like, oh, let's bump the counts. No, it's like 1819 was, it kind of had that feeling that Great British Baking Show had, which was like, this is a stinker of a year. Like, this is not like gonna be something that is like all that amazing, but it is interesting to know that like we documented that history. Like that happened. We documented that. And then of course, the very first Plate and Time I did, 1840s, where I talked about buffalo and Native Americans and, you know, indigenous food and how they hunted, how, you know, all of everything was going on in the 1840s. There was a lot of change for the U.S. going westward expansion, and also just a lot more wildness to the United States. A lot of areas that were not incorporated yet into the U.S., a lot of areas that were still very much a frontier. So yeah, 1840s was amazing. And then definitely Movie Munchies. I don't get to do it as much as I want to. The last episode we did was Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow with Sophia Loren and Antonioni, I believe. Or yeah, I'm going to have to remember his name a little bit better. But anyway, the Italian film that goes over three different stories, love it. Got to talk about the food on that episode. I liked going over that. And it's funny because like the episodes that I'm noticing a trend where the episodes I thoroughly enjoy, they're kind of the ones that are offbeat. But yet I think a majority of people want to see the stuff that, you know, are super popular. So, another one kind of going over it, Greece with Mapping the Culinary World. That was another one with Andrew from Our Last Meal. Loved that episode because Greek food, I don't think it's underrated, so to speak, but it needs to be everywhere a lot more often, especially on the West Coast. Yeah, we need more Greek everything. In our lives. It is so good. Yeah. And then The end of season one and all through season two this year, a lot of islands on Mapping the Culinary World. So Timor-Leste, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, it kept kind of going to these different islands. Yeah, the Maldives. It was so cool to hop those islands, and the cuisines on each island, although a couple things similar, vastly different. Really fun to go through those. And yeah, I would definitely say that those are some of my favorites in terms of episodes. So if you're new to Culinary Convo, you're listening to the year-end review, go back to some of those episodes and then keep listening to new episodes. Once again, still every Monday and Thursday, we are shipping out new episodes, whether it's on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's here on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, like 20 others. I know it's everywhere. So it's everywhere you get your podcasts, or YouTube. And on YouTube, you can watch like the images of the food that I'm talking about, or the places that I'm talking about, or the people that I'm talking about. And you get to see my little pretty bearded face, which if you like beards, I'm a pretty man. If you don't, you might want to just pay attention to the right side of the screen. that's about it. But definitely check us out on YouTube. And then once again, go to culinaryconvo.com, sign up for the newsletter. That way you can get the Pinterest recipes, some of the research, whether it's videos, articles, different cookbooks, pages out of cookbooks, different things like that that I've been posting. Also, recommendations of other podcasts. As much as I make Culinary Convo, I think people don't realize I listen to a ton of podcasts. I listen to a lot of different podcasts. And lately, I've been listening to it on 1.2 times speed. And for some folks, it's probably too fast. I know my wife has said, oh my God, they're talking way too fast. But for somebody like me, when I'm listening to it at 1.2 speed, that is like my comfort zone. It's quick enough. They get to the point super fast. When ads pop up, it goes through it super fast. So it's all good when you're listening to it pretty quick. And so you'll go through episodes pretty fast. Some of my longer episodes, if you think they drown on too long, hit the 1.2 or 1.5 times and you'll hear me in like chipmunk mode. Definitely, like I said, I try to recommend as many podcasts as I can. Some of my favorite podcasts, obviously ones that I've been on, are like some of my favorites. So Our Last Meal with Andrew, and definitely 34 with 34 Questions. It's one of those, you got to check them out. They're always putting new people on, having great listening content off of that. But then there's others that I'm listening to just for my own enjoyment. One of them was called Buffy, which was through the CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting. Really just, I don't know. It was kind of mind-blowing to me to go through Buffy, because it's over Buffy St. Marie. She, folk singer, Indigenous First Nations singer out of Canada, but she was, I believe, adopted by Americans. And so she's lived in America. She's lived in Canada. You listen to her music, and it's so genuine and so, like, Rage Against the Machine, Bob Dylan type of like forces hitting against just everything that we know to be not great. Like how we treated Native peoples. It was not awesome. And it's one of those things where listening to her music and then listening to kind of her life story through this podcast, one, it helped me learn about somebody that I actually did not hear about before. And now, Buffy St. Marie is like one of my favorite artists now. I have her on my starred list. I listen to her songs when I'm just like in the car and we're on long drives. And I'm just like, I wasn't Buffy St. Marie. But another great podcast is The Secret Life of Canada. A lot of stuff about Indigenous and First Nations people through that, but also just kind of pop culture references and tons of things. Hosted by Fallon, Fallon, I believe her first name is. And she's an amazing host. And I'm trying to remember the other name. I put it on my newsletter. But anyways, Secret Life of Canada. Everybody go listen to that. I'm not Canadian. Maybe I wish I was. I have no idea. But the main thing is that those are great podcasts. I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. They are huge in the podcasting world. Some of my favorites right now is The Deck, which is going over basically a deck of cards where they have missing or unsolved crimes, and they're in prisons, but they've kind of taken it out of the prisons and they're talking about it on the podcast. And so very morbid, very sad, but at the same time, it's very interesting to listen to try to see kind of what they think may have happened. And if anybody else has any other information, they can come forward. Then also Melanie's Murders. I've listened to only a couple episodes. I started it not too long ago, but it is hilarious because basically Melanie is like super into true crime and loves talking about these things. Her husband is having none of it. And it loosely reminds me of me and my wife's relationship, because I'll watch true crime stuff. I don't know if I'm as avid as some other people, but I like to watch it and I like to go through it and see what's going on. My wife's more like, you know, like, can we just watch something that's kind of positive, you know, more positive? Because believe it or not, in my regular life, positivity can radiate from me. At the same time, there are a lot of things I watch, listen to, or what have you, and they're kind of very emotional, emo, whatever. And so I think my wife's like, you know, I'm around you a lot. And so these other people, they don't know that. And so like, I'm listening and hearing all this stuff that is super emo and like sad and morbid, and you need more positivity. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like I can do that. And then, yeah, I do positivity everywhere else where I have to do the public facing. But no, I mean, like I said, Melanie's Murders is still, it's funny at moments, because the husband is trying to, like, you know, shoot down theories or go through things, and obviously murder and kidnapping, you know, different stuff. It's not funny. But the way that they try to analyze it and look at it, it can be kind of humorous. You can kind of get a little bit of a chuckle going. But you still get to hear about a case that maybe you haven't heard of before, but Melanie has. So that's always, like I said, that so far has been a great listen. What is one that I've been listening to? Dead Eyes. Dead Eyes is another one. Very funny. I cannot rave about Dead Eyes enough. Connor, he basically was trying to be on Band of Brothers, and Tom Hanks says, no, we can't cast him because he has dead eyes. And it's kind of a comedic look at how he didn't get that job. And then it talks about the rest of like kind of his career so far, not only in comedy, but comedy writing and acting and all sorts of things. He's very down to earth, very humble. It's a very funny podcast because of the dialogue that they have a lot of the times. It's not really like making fun of him directly. It's more of like looking at the situation and being able to look back and laugh. Plus, he's a Missouri guy. So, like, I got to give my shout outs to the Missouri folk. But yeah, another amazing podcast, Dead Eyes. That's so good. And then another thing that I've been doing, listening to music, obviously. There is a playlist. It's by Matt Box, and it's called Classical Bangers. And it's got like an old white wigged dude with sunglasses, but it's got like the Terminator stuff in there. dude, follow the classical bangers playlist on Spotify if you can. It is so good. It's classical music. You're not going to hear vocals. You're not going to have any of that. But, dude, I love, like, listening to that and working or going through and researching stuff. Oh, my gosh. Love it. Another one that has been kind of on my mind in terms of podcasts and listening and everything going on with that. It is sadly, and I say sadly because it's like, I don't know. I'm it's kind of gloom and doom a little bit, but The Last Resort, which is basically about how California should become their own country. And why, you know, some people find that to be a very good alternative to what's going on. And I think a lot of people look at that and they think, oh, it's just some like leftist or possibly right leaning thing. And it's like extreme and whatever. And really the way that it's actually presented is like, this kind of hits on both sides, which is why it became popular. And it kind of goes through the timeline of why folks are following this Cal exit kind of thing. So, yeah, very interesting. But, yeah, those are the podcasts I've been listening to. That and The Problem with Jon Stewart. Always amazing interviews on that with political or social or, you know, professorial. Yeah, that's a good word. people and interviewing them and going over things. It's different than the show that's on Apple TV. And so I just hope that you guys check that out as well. And yeah, that's all I got for you this week. In my year-end review is all the things that I've been listening to, all the things going on in Culinary Convo. Obviously, I'm going to finish this off with, you know, share this podcast, like this podcast, follow it, rate it wherever you can. Talk to your friends, your family about it. Just say, hey, it's something, you know, pick a subject you like or a time period you like and listen to that episode and then try to go from there. I appreciate it like 20-fold when folks do that. And then share anything on social media that we've been sending out, whether it's clips of the show or what have you. And then obviously go to culinaryconvo.com, go to our merch shop. Marissa, our little graphic designer here, making all sorts of things, whether it's Benny and Biscuit in sticker form that you can put on anything and everything, or a little biscuit that's afraid he's going to be drowned in gravy. And then, yeah, all the special countries of pizza, but the pizza is shaped like the country. I've got that. And I say, I have that. Marissa drew all these things. They're amazing. So yeah, so go check that out. And then obviously join the newsletter, so that we can still send things out. You can take your part in polls. You can watch the videos, the research that we have, as well as the recipes from Pinterest, or you can go follow our Pinterest. It eventually, shows up there in terms of like a board, a Pinterest board. And so either one. And I just want to thank everybody again for an amazing 2022 in terms of this podcast and folks reaching out and me going on different shows with Andrew and 34. You guys, you're amazing. I definitely got to say that hanging out with them via podcast and going over things with them, man, it's been great. And yeah, 2022. Yeah, I'll remember you for sure. I'm glad that I don't remember you like 2020. I remember at least most of 2020. And just everybody, you know, if you're not vaccinated, please get vaccinated. I'm fully vaxxed, and believe it or not, I only have one horn on top of my head and like kind of an itchy pinky finger, and that's it. Well, I got other issues, but it has nothing to do with the vaccine. And no, I don't have a horn. Gosh, just get vaccinated. That way you're helping yourself and others. Wear a mask when you can, or if you think you're going to be indoors for a super long time for something, so that you can take care of those folks that are autoimmune or have things where they have to wear a mask. And then obviously everybody take care of yourselves and have a happy new year. Celebrate with friends, family, random people, enjoy what we have, because lately there's been a lot of things that have reminded me that nothing is really guaranteed about our experience here. And so really enjoy it. And again, like from bottom of the deep part of my soul, thank you so much, everybody, for jumping in on the podcast, sharing, liking, doing all those good things, and listening overall. I don't do it just because I like to hear my own voice. I do it for the information, for the research, and it's been an amazing year, and I'm hoping 2023 is just as great. I'll do another year-end review on that when it comes around, and we will see everybody next week. What I've got for the Monday episode is United Foods of America, Illinois. Yeah, a lot of things in Chicago, but Illinois's got more than just Chicago stuff, and we'll go over that. And we will see you next time. Goodbye. I'm going to keep singing, Mom. I don't care what you say. I'm going to keep singing, at least not very long. Goodbye.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.